Brothers and sisters, do you know there's only one thing in all the world that can make a difference? Do you know what that one thing is? It is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. The love of Jesus Christ can make all of the difference. And if God's love is going to make any difference in you, you must be a growing Christian. And so here's a couple of questions you need to ask yourself. Are you a growing Christian? And are you a better Christian today than you were last year at this same time? You know, I've given this a lot of thought. And if you and I are not a growing Christian, do you know what that makes us? A backslidden Christian. You see, one of the greatest problems in the church today is we have a lot of immature Christians. Some have gray hair, but they're babies because they've never gotten into the Word of God and they've never desired the sincere milk of the Word of God. And as a result, they've never grown up in their Christian faith. They've never grown up in God. And the text that God is going to share with you and I this morning is going to ask us a couple things. And in the text he's sharing, well, this is going to delineate between three kinds of people. And without a doubt, you and I are one of those kinds of people. Now, a pastor preached a message, and after the message, a little old lady, she was quite miffed with her pastor about the message he preached, and she met him at the door after service, and she said, "Preacher, I didn't appreciate that message one little bit." That pastor looked at that lady and said, "Well, neither did Satan, so classify yourself." And friends, we need to classify ourselves this morning. You see, in order to get to where we need to be in our Christian faith and walk, the first question we ask is, where am I now? Now, if you're in a mall and you're trying to find your way around, you can go to one of those marquees where it has all of the stores listed on there. And then also on there is a little red dot that says, "You are here." Because, friend, if you don't know where you're at, that map don't make any sense at all. And the first question that God asked man after he had sinned was this: "Adam, where are you?" Well, that's a good question, don't you think? Where are you? And I believe God would be asking that of us this morning. Where are you in your Christian faith? And so finding in your Bibles this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. And I pray you will keep your Bibles open this morning. I also pray you've brought a Bible to church. See, if you're a Christian and you don't bring a Bible to church, well, what kind of Christian are you? Where are you? We ought to have a Bible. After all, the Bible is God's instruction manual for us. Amen? And so we ought to have our Bible. I hope you have a Bible this morning. And I also hope that you'll keep it open as we hear God's word of instruction for us. Now remember, there are three classifications of persons in the scripture we're going to read this morning. And you be looking for where you are as we read. Would you rise to your feet this morning? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to begin with verse 14. Everybody there say amen. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Now, if you were paying attention, God described three classifications as we read. In the first classification of people, God calls the natural man. The second classification of people, God calls the carnal man. In the third classification, God calls the spiritual man. And friends, you and I are one of these three. Would you bow with me in prayer? Almighty God, as we come to this teaching hour, Lord God, would you open our ears? Would you clear our minds that we might focus in with you here for just a little bit and allow you to speak to our heart? Lord, as your servant, all I can do is take your word to the ears of your people. But only you, God, can take it down to where they can profit, where it will do them the most good. Only you can take it to their heart. And Lord, I'm praying today that you'll take it to our heart, that we might profit, that we might know where we are right now, so we can know where we need to go to get to where we need to be. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. So why these three? Because God wants us to look at these three in order to help us find out which of these three we really are. And to help you find out whether or not you are growing. And so, he gives three classifications. And the first classification is the natural man. And you need to know that right up front, I'm going to be right up front with you. If you're a natural man or a natural woman, growth is impossible for you. Let me say that again. If you're a natural man or a natural woman, growth is impossible for you. And here's why. You have no spiritual animation. You have no life. You see, to be animated is to be motivated with life. Animus means living. And if you're a natural man or a natural woman, you are devoid of the Spirit of God. You have no spiritual life in you. Now just imagine for a moment if I had a dead stick up here and I was to give that dead stick to Liza and I said, Liza, you take that dead stick, you go plant it in the ground, you water it, you fertilize it, you care for it, you make sure it gets plenty of sun now, dear, and you give it all of those things, do you know what's going to happen to that dead stick? Let's say she does that faithfully, because Liza's faithful. Let's say Liza does that faithfully for 6 months. Do you know what she's going to have at the end of 6 months? A dead stick, yeah. See? And friend, a man or a woman without Jesus Christ spiritually is nothing more than a dead stick. That's all there is. They're what God calls the natural man. In Jude chapter 1 verse 19 describes them as having not the Spirit. They just don't have it. There's no spiritual life in them. The natural man or natural woman has never been born again. They've never been born of the Spirit. They have no spiritual life in them. And it's absolutely impossible for them to grow, because of the Holy Spirit of God does not live inside of them. And the Holy Spirit is the life in us that Jesus gives to us when we are born again. So they have no spiritual animation, but guess what else they lack? They have no spiritual appreciation. Look again there at verse 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. The word receive here means that they do not welcome the things of God because they do not appreciate spiritual things. Now understand something. A person can come to Green Valley Baptist Church and they can appreciate a lot of things about Green Valley Baptist Church. They can appreciate the fellowship of the church. They can appreciate the beauty of this church. I mean, God has given us a beautiful church building, amen? They can appreciate all of that, but you know what they don't appreciate? They don't appreciate the spiritual things. because it's impossible for them. And that's because the Bible teaches, for the preaching of the cross is foolishness unto them that are perishing. The reason they can't understand is because they have no spiritual apparatus. Look again at verse 14. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. They don't have the tools to understand. Even if they wanted to understand, they don't have the tools. Do you know why that is? Because the Bible teaches in John 8 and 47, he that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. You see, Jesus taught that those who are not of God, they can't understand it. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And so the natural man or natural woman cannot grow. They just do not understand spiritual things. And therefore, for them, growth is impossible. They're a stick stuck in the ground with no life in them at all. Now, you may have been in Green Valley Baptist Church for a long time, but if you were to be Judgment Day honest, you'd have to say, Pastor, I have never really truly given my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never trusted Him as my Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ is not a bright living reality in me. Well, that's the first classification. The second classification is the carnal man. And Paul says here in chapter 3, verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. The word carnal means fleshly. Rather than being motivated by the Spirit, they are carnal. Now, this man or woman could be saved because they are a babe in Christ. That's how God clarifies them. But what is their problem? It is retarded development. The word babe is a word that is used for a person who has failed to grow in his life. Or her life. They've just failed to grow. This carnal man or woman who is not growing is neither spiritual or natural. They are unnatural. They are saved, but they oftentimes appear like an unsaved person because they've never grown up in Jesus Christ. Now, there's a time for a legitimate childhood, and the Bible teaches, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby, 1 Peter 2 and 2. But Paul writes here, speaking to this church at Corinth, he says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. Now, most folks love babies. Isn't that true? And most folks are silly around babies, aren't we? Oh, give me five. Oh, do this. Oh, do that. We love babies. But you want to know a sad thing? Here's a sad thing about babies. If a baby never grows, it's a sad thing. Now, here's a sad thing when people come to Green Valley Baptist Church or any church. But we're in Green Valley Baptist Church, so that's the church I'm going to use this morning. They look around, and they become like the average. The average convert is going to become like the average member. But what if the average member is not a normal Christian? If the average Christian is so subnormal, if he ever became normal, he'd appear to be abnormal. Don't ever think that carnal Christianity is a choice that you and I get to have. A carnal Christian is an oxymoron. It's like saying a heavenly devil. Now, not only does this man or woman have a restricted development, but also they have a restricted diet. They aren't growing because they have a retarded development and they have a restricted diet. Paul writes, verse 2, "And I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." That's what your Bible says, amen? Your Bible say that? Okay. I just want to know if you're alive this morning. If your Bible says it, shout amen. Oh, praise the Lord. There are people alive in here today. Now, friend, do you want to know what the average pastor is doing in the average church? He's just a spiritual nursemaid. That's all he is. He goes around giving prepared bottles of strange food to his people. Friends, the writer of Hebrews said this, speaking of Jesus, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Well, how many of you have been a member of Green Valley Baptist Church for over 10 years? Raise your hand this morning if you have. Okay. Now, friend, if you've been a member of Green Valley Baptist Church for over 10 years, you ought to be some kind of a teacher. But the Hebrew states, "Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God." What is God saying to us? He is saying, when you ought to be writing essays, you still need somebody to teach you your ABCs. "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Now, I'm not the only one that's discovered this, and I'm sure you've discovered it as well. There are many Christians today who cannot tell the difference between good and evil. You know, they're like a baby, aren't they? A baby will put anything into their mouth, be it a cigarette butt or a roach. If it's there, they're going to pick it up and they're going to put it in their mouth. They just can't tell the difference between good or evil. A baby can't take strong meat. And so you're in one of these categories that God is speaking to us about here this morning. Either you need to be fed, or you can feed yourself, or you're feeding others. Now, Paul says here there is a retarded development, there is a restricted diet, and then there are repeated divisions among these carnal people. Look at verse 3. "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as" what, church? You know, baby Christians, they just fuss and fight over every little thing. That's what they do. If you're going to cause a battle, have it be over something big. Now, I've been a pastor long enough now to know most of the problems in most churches are not caused by major things. They're just caused by carnal people who are fussing and fighting over this little thing or that little thing. And so many times, it can even be over personalities. Look at verse 4 here. For while one saith, "I am of Paul," and another, "I am of Apollos," Are ye not what, church? And I believe that God is saying to us, it's time for big babies to grow up. Now, some are natural, they're never going to grow. Some are carnal, they have a retarded development, and they need to grow, and shame on them if they do not grow, but then shame on us if we're not growing also. You see, God brings us, listen, when we got saved, we brought into the Christian life absolutely nothing. It is a miracle of amazing grace that any of us were ever saved. What did you bring when you came to ask Jesus to be your Savior? I'll tell you what you brought. You brought your sin, you brought your filth, you brought your junk. That's all you brought. But God in His amazing grace reached down from heaven on high. I don't know why He saw anything good in any one of us, myself included, and I'll start with me. But God saw something. He loved us so much. God loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! But you know, some people get up and they think they know it all, don't they? Oh, how sad it is. And they never grow. Someone once asked me, why do you do those daily devotionals? Here's why. Because I'm not certain that many of you are reading your Bibles. But I do know this. If that message comes across your phone and you hear it, at least we got some scripture into you for that day. Now, if you would read your Bibles and you would do what Christians ought to do and have a desire to grow, those devotionals would profit you even more. But the whole reason behind it is because we have a mandate from God on high. We are to be a growing Christian. Let me ask you this, and do not raise your hand. God already knows. Don't want to embarrass anybody. How many of you spent every single day this week reading the Bible at some point? You were in the Word of God. How many of you spent time this week memorizing Scripture? How many of you spent time this week thinking about the lost condition of this world and who in your circle of influence God wants to use you to reach, but the only reason you're reaching them is because you have this fear, well, I won't know what to say. Well, friend, you want to know why you won't know what to say? You won't know what to say because you're not growing. That's all that is. It's an admission that I am not growing up in Christ. I wouldn't know what to do. So for some, they're never going to grow because they're just natural. The Holy Spirit doesn't live in them. Some are carnal. They have a retarded development, and they need to grow. And some, and shame on us, all of us, if we're not a growing Christian. But now we come to the third category. And I will say one more time, the Word of God teaches us that we are all to be growing Christians. And in this third classification, I pray to God for myself and I pray to God for you that we would be able one day to find ourselves here, and I hope some of us are here now. And that is the spiritual man. Again, with the first one, growth is impossible. With the second, growth is retarded. And in the third, growth is just the natural and the normal thing. With a spiritual man, growth is enhanced because the spiritual man lives by the Spirit. I want you to look with me here at verses 11 and 12 in this same chapter. If you're there, say amen. 1 Corinthians 2:11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Friends, a Christian is someone who, when he received Jesus, received the Holy Spirit of God. And the Bible says clearly, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you are not saved. Now, I know there are some denominations out there and some people who erroneously teach that you get saved and later on you receive the Holy Spirit, but that's heresy. Because the Bible clearly teaches if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Romans 8:9. if you're devoid of the Spirit, you're just a natural man or a natural woman. And salvation is not getting man out of earth into heaven. It is getting God out of heaven and into man. When God comes in you, you live by the Spirit. And so a Christian is not a nicer person. The Bible says he is a new creation. He's not a tadpole that's been turned into a frog. He's a prince. He's a frog that's turned into a prince by the kiss of amazing grace and the impartation of the Holy Spirit into his life. Does the Spirit live in you? Romans 8:9 states, "But ye are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So the mark of a spiritual person is that they live by the Spirit. But then second, they also learn by the Spirit. Our text states, look again at verse 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." The man who lives by the Spirit learns from the Spirit. The Spirit is the teacher on the inside of this man. And a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. That's what Jesus said in John 3:27. And then over in 1 Corinthians 12:3, Paul wrote, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." There is no way that I can convince you to give your heart to Jesus Christ apart from the Holy Spirit speaking to you. No man can say that Jesus Christ is the Lord except by God, by the Holy Spirit. When Jesus asked Simon Peter, y'all remember the story, I pray. I hope you've read your Bibles and you know this. Jesus said, "Simon, who do men say that I am?" And Peter replied, "Some say this, some say one thing, some say another. But Peter, who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee." Now this is very interesting, because Peter has been walking 3 years with the Lord Jesus Christ, who had a flesh and blood body just like Peter. But Peter and Jesus, they've been together at this point in time for 3 years. And Jesus, the master teacher, says to Peter, the only way that you could understand this is for God to reveal it to you. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven, Matthew 16:17. We need to understand that we learn from the Spirit. How do we learn from the Spirit? How does the Spirit of God teach us and help us to grow? The miracle of this learning is found in 1 Corinthians 2:4, same chapter. Just look back at verse 4, if you will. "In my speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Now that's what I long for in my own life. Listen, I don't want to be cute. I don't want to be logical. I don't even want to be oratorical. I want in my life a demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. And I pray that's what you'd want in your life as well. How does the Holy Spirit of God do this? We'll look here in the same chapter, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of who, church? Only the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. Do you agree with that? Only the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God? Amen? On a human level, we don't even really know one another. Look back there at verse 11 again. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man that is in him? Now you're looking at me, you're hearing me, but you don't really know me. And I'm looking at you, and nobody really knows you. Nobody knows me but me, and nobody knows you but you. What man knoweth the things of a man? Except the spirit of man that is in him, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Just as I know me in a way that you will never know me, and just as you know yourself in a way that I will never know you, the Bible also tells us that we can't know all there is about God. And that simply means you can have a divinely inspired Bible, which we do, but you're not going to understand it apart from divine illumination. You can believe the Bible is verbally inspired, inerrantly inspired, infallible, and you can pore over it and you can study it. But I'm telling you, unless the Spirit of God teaches you, you're not going to understand it. And it's the whole reason the psalmist prayed, open thou my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And when you begin to pray that way and you begin to search that way, do you want to know what's going to happen? The Holy Spirit of God is going to help you know things that you never knew, and you're going to see in a way that you never saw. It doesn't mean you're going to know everything about God, because the Bible teaches there are some things, some secret things that belong to God alone. Deuteronomy 29:29. God is so vast, friends. God is so great that he'll give you some things, but he's not going to give you everything. Now, if we were all to go down to the Atlantic Ocean and take a big bucket, the biggest one we could have, and we'd fill it full of the Atlantic Ocean, well, we'd have some of the Atlantic Ocean in the bucket, wouldn't we? But we wouldn't have all of the Atlantic Ocean in the bucket. A spiritual Christian lives by the Spirit. He learns by the Spirit, and therefore he is liberated by the Spirit. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Paul writes here, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let me tell you what a spiritual Christian is. They're walking in the Spirit so they don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And a spiritual Christian who's a growing Christian sees through this material world. He judgeth all things. Literally means he discerns all things. It means your value system is operating rightly, and that the people of the world will not understand you because you are marching to the beat of Almighty God. And people ought to be saying about you and I, man, they's different. They're not the same so-and-so they used to be at all. They're different. Because you are growing spiritually in Jesus Christ. And you ought to be telling and teaching people about Jesus Christ and how Jesus Christ has made a difference in your life and how Jesus Christ can be the difference in their life. And I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of people in this world who are looking for the truth and not finding the truth because there's not enough Christians out there telling them that Jesus Christ is the difference maker. Amen? We ought to be out there doing that. We're no longer a slave. A spiritual growing Christian is no longer a slave to the opinions of men, But friend, if you're natural, you've never been saved. And we're coming to the end. You may be a member of this church, but you need, as quickly as possible, to get genuinely saved so that you can begin to grow. In my second church, there was a lady who had been in a member of that church for 20 years. Think about that, 20 years. One day I give the invitation, and here she came down the aisle. And you know what she did on that day? She got saved. She realized that she wasn't saved at all. She was just a natural woman going to church, been doing it for 20 years. Praise God, she got saved. If you're a carnal person, you suffer from a retarded development, a restricted diet, and repeated divisions, and you ought to be praying, God, have mercy on me. My carnality is a sin. And I am repenting of it. I will no longer accept it as an option for my Christian life. God, have mercy on me. Lord, I'm getting off the throne of my heart and I'm turning it over to its rightful owner, you. God, have mercy on me. I'm saved, but I've lived in the flesh. God, have mercy on me. Forgive me. You come and you rule and you reign in my heart. And then, friend, if you're a spiritual person, don't get all puffed up with pride. No, have a little bit of humility. And always remember this, if you cease to be better, you cease to be good. You need to continue to obey what God has said. This is the commandment of God. But grow in grace. What is grace? God's riches at Christ's expense. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Well, let's make application as we close. Where are you? If God was looking at you, and He is, and He was to come and He was to say, Tamara, where are you? Teresa, where are you? Mike, where are you? Now you put your name there because we don't have time for me to go throughout the whole church. He'd say, Don, where are you? Are you a growing Christian? Are you a better Christian right now at this time than you were last year at this same time? No, Father. Without a doubt, Your word has been taught and Your word has been spoken here this morning. And oh Lord, what a privilege it has been for all of us to be in this place, to hear the Word of God. And Lord, as Your Word has gone out, we know that, Father, You have said in Your Word that it never goes out void. And Lord, You are calling all of us to classify ourselves. And Lord, I'm more than confident that as Your Word was preached, You have classified us and we know who we are. And we also know the decisions that we need to make. Lord, an invitation is given in the church for people to have the opportunity to be a doer of Your word. And Lord, help us not to be like those people James wrote about. You see, James wrote, and we all know, be ye a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. Lord God, we pray that the Spirit of God would come upon us, that we would do what You have asked and what You are saying to us through the power of Your Spirit right now as You speak to each one of our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said, amen.